15 to 20 million.
Isn't it about time for a change?
We're our national leader.
AmericanWorkersRadio.com. You're listening to American Workers Radio, a national network promoting American-made products, with your host, Michael Blihash.
Well, welcome once again to another edition of American Workers Radio here on 860 AM. As you know, we serve a wide broadcast range in southeastern Pennsylvania, the state of New Jersey, and northern Delaware. And if you know of someone you said, hey, I'd like them to get involved listening in, tell them to go to their radio if they live in our broadcast area, or they can go to the front page of AmericanWorkersRadio.com. Also, during regular broadcast time, 11 to 12 on Wednesdays, they can also go to Alexa 860 AM radio, and the program comes right up. Well, ladies and gentlemen, today we're going to talk some common sense issues because American workers are really being hurt by the many things that are happening here in the USA, and the lack of leadership, the lack of concern, all of that is really doing a very big negative thing for America, its economy, and of course, its future. First of all, I want to say a special thank you to a few people that are very important to our movement, like Mark Andel, founder of the Made in America store, Larkin Conley, national small business advocate, person who was involved with SCORE, a businessman who has a good, realistic idea of what's happening. Also, Rich Logis, another business person. He is the principal of RJL Technology Integration, and our engineer is Henry Chaplinsky, and I am Michael Blihash, and I want to say a special thank you and a shout out to all the people that I meet in my various travels. And we had a very beautiful event happen this week on Friday evening, and that was the inauguration of Mike Driscoll as the city councilman of the 6th District of Philadelphia. And I was really pleased to be there at that event. And we had a wonderful time, talked to a lot of our supporters and friends. And this is really what it's all about. Now, yesterday we celebrated Flag Day, a time to honor the United States flag, which was first presented to the Continental Congress on June the 14th, 1777. And it became another way for us to unite the American people. And I'm encouraging all of you to fly your American flags now and throughout Veterans Day in November. And if you need flags, you can call upon Mark Andel. He's doing things with flags. He'll have them shipped right to your house, put them out, get lots of them, put them out in the garden, in the windows, whatever. All you have to do is click on the front page of madeinamericastore.com. There's also a link on the front page of americanworkersradio.com. Additionally, Mark has his own radio broadcast, which you can hear by clicking on the front page of americanworkersradio.com. And I want to say a thank you to everybody who is going on. And as I said before, there is a link to contact your elected officials right there on the front page. All you have to do is click on it. You can go to President Biden. You can go to all the members of the House and Senate. You just put in your state. It gives you the information. They need to receive calls from the public so that they would be able to know what the public is thinking. It's pretty sad that this is all going on and very little is being said by these people who were elected to be our leaders. They were elected. They wanted to be leaders. They were elected. And now here we are wondering where are the elected people. This Sunday is also Father's Day. So a happy Father's Day to all of our dads and granddads as we celebrate this Sunday, June the 19th. I'm asking all of you to make sure you do something special for Dad and encourage Dad to make sure that he looks at every label wherever he goes out shopping or wherever he is, whenever he's talking to people, wherever he is, let him promote our Buy American Made campaign. I have to say this, which I'm seeing and hearing more of wherever I go. More and more people are looking for American made. And in many cases, people tell me, I'm just not buying it. With inflation the way it is, I'm just giving it a break. And I'm not going to buy that this time around. I found one in my garage. I'll use that this year. I pulled out my old chairs and table from the garage, and I'm going to use that rather than buy new stuff, which I said a couple years ago I was going to do. In the last 17 months, it has been an eye-opener for the American people as America's businesses. As inflation has been hitting all of us, it largely hurts the businesses. As a result of President Biden's executive order in January 2021 to change America's energy independence. Now, I respect all elected officials for the fact that they are elected and they took an oath of office to help the people. But is this the oath of office? Is this what we need to be helped? As I said several times in the past, we have 1% of the cars in America right now able to be generating electric supply rather than gas. Do we harm the other 99% over 1%? This changeover is not going to happen very easily. It's hurting workers now, workers who have to travel 30 miles a day to back and forth at 60 miles a day. They have to do all this. Look at the money that's being wasted. So it's shameful when you look at it, that it's not realistic. It's caused chaos in the United States. And, you know, even people that are leaders from other countries, as they were having trouble getting their gas and all from Russia because of all this stuff, they said, why is America doing this? America was supplying a portion of the needs to our country. Why can't we still do that? We now have to go hunting because America's in a need now for additional sources. And the biggest problem is we're bringing stuff in from overseas, and we only have so much refining capacity, so it's a circus. If we go back 2, 3, 4, 5 years ago and start looking at our energy future, American workers will definitely benefit, and people from around the world. We simply need to get the United States, all the oil that we have. It's like 250 years, they're saying, that we have right now. Well, I hope that we'll all live for 250 years, but I doubt it. But the thing is, we also, there is unbelievable amounts of oil and gas and everything else in Alaska and Canada, and offshore drilling provides us enough to supply ourselves. The problem is it then stops the importing process from foreign countries, which they, certain groups of people within Washington, want that to change. So we're watching 535 people in the United States of America hurt our young people, old people in between, and they're doing nothing since this was signed, I guess it's 17 months ago. And I'd like to see it changed. And bearing all this in mind, I'm going to turn first to Mark Andel. Mark, how are you doing? And what would you like to see done today? Not tomorrow. We can't recreate yesterday. Today, to get this thing moving.
Yeah, I love Mike. First, good morning. Mike, Larkin, Rich, and Henry, always making us sound good. Couldn't do it without Henry. But, Mike, a lot going on. I love when you said let's talk about common sense, because on my other show, I always have a brutal fact session, and I added common sense, and I want to name it one or the other. But, you know, common sense is what we need. I've been having a lot of buses coming at the stores, and I love it. This week we've had Kentucky, South Carolina, Texas, Illinois, Ohio, and we talk to people, and there's great businessmen, farmers, professors, and what's nice is you talk to a lot of people. Got a few stories there I'm going to share, but common sense, the fuel right now, you know, whatever. I personally think it's an F you from the oil gurus to our president. But I, it's driving. A lot of people don't realize a semi going down the highways averages 6 miles a gallon. If they put all the aerodynamic equipment on, they can maybe get 7 miles a gallon, Mike. And, you know, that's averaging like $1 a mile. You know, you go 1,000 miles, you're paying $1,000. Yeah. So the gas alone and diesel fuel, which could be, you know, they're not only when he, you know, our president did the executive orders, you know, he cut fossil fuel, you know, whatever the price is, but you cut so many people out of work, myself included. We were doing oil and mining work again for the oil rigs. I haven't seen it in 2 years plus. But, you know, so we've got a lot going on. You know, if we talk about the report card, executive orders, Afghanistan mess, the COVID pandemic, Ukraine war. And, you know, if you like that, you know, God bless you. But all these fuel prices are causing, you know, rapid inflation. My son, Brian, runs one of my stores. Mike, he lives alone in an apartment. He came to me this week. He was at a bus to help out, and he looked stressed. I said, what's going on? He said, just short on money. I said, and he figured out. I said, how much more is your fuel a week? He said, you know, $30, $40, and you add it all up, but all the inflated items, even his groceries, mm-hmm. it shows up to be, you know, that $100 to $200 a month, and we could pull it right out. You know, we drew it out. But on World News last Friday, they did mention it was about $425, the average family paying more per month than they were a year ago. And I've been following it with my own people. That's a lot of money. And if you're on fixed income, my son's single with an apartment, you're on fixed income, my parents, you know, it's hard, Mike. It's not a little hard, and I've talked to a lot of business guys this week. It's starting to close up. Even my friend in Florida, and Larkin, you can add to this, and Rich, but the people are starting to tighten up. They're not buying certain things like you just went through. If it's a toy, if it's a product, they're getting by. So the residential owners, and I knew and I watched this, even on my trailer side, they're just not purchasing. I've got a person in my business that sells, buys old boats, sells them old cars. He's been sitting on one for a month or two. Usually the prices he's at, he'd sell it in 2 days. So the economy is locking up, just like we predicted. I said, buckle up. I said, put another seatbelt on now. So we've got to deal with this, though, is the problem. If you're retired, if you got fixed income, you've got it. You know, a customer came off the bus, two customers. They're from Indiana, southern Indiana, a great gentleman, farmers, then had their own business, and they were a dragline miners, which is very interesting. They explained the process. But the one guy looked me right in the eyes. Can you make it through this one? And I said, I'm not sure. He said, I don't know if you can. You know, I don't know if the businesses can make it through this one, because the problem is there's no light at the end of the tunnel. And if you don't think it's bad, you're not in. You're not living the game, Mike. So a lot to talk about. You know, the semis, the fuel, just a lot of problems. This is the real deal as we get into the fall here. But, you know, for the residential side, it's locking up already. About 30 to 40% sales down in our stores and most stores around Western New York.
What a shame. Now, can you imagine? I did have
this is real.
But I have to tell you, I proposed a solution to one of our elected officials in the area, and he just had a blank stare on his face. He says, what? And I talked to another gentleman who runs Open the Books, which maybe you get some emails from him. He tracks, you know, what the government spends on this and that. And I said to this very nice guy, he's, you know, a man in Congress for at least 12 years now, 10 to 12 years. He said to me, what would you do? I said, well, everybody in Washington is speaking about how important it is to get the money back into the taxpayers' pockets. I said, well, okay, I'm going to, I proposed the Emergency Energy Act. That was back January of 21. I said, this I would like to propose to you. Would you like to introduce this? And he said, what is it? I said, to help end the presidential executive order or continue it for however long the government can, you know, sustain this. I said, refund the taxpayers for the money they wasted on the gas, energy, food, and everything else during the last 17 months. I said, they gave rebate checks, they gave all this during the pandemic because the people were suffering. Why can't we give them all? I feel a plan like $5,000 rebate to every family and $3,000 rebate to every individual taxpayer would be good to, you know, help with the overcharges. It's shameful.
It helps. And, Mike, I want to say I had a good guest on my show yesterday for Saturday. His name's Kyle Gross. He's sales manager for our own candle company. The candles, they make them in Finley Lake up here and Erie, PA, but they used to make them out of New Jersey, Mike, which probably half hour we figured out from you. And that's where the candles started. But they're making candles here. They're shipping them not only in our country, they're selling them, but they're selling them to Europe. Ireland is a big customer of his. And we went through the whole story. They're 100% made in America, and you can do it. And he went through, and he's doing very well with the candles. But he did run into a glass shortage throughout COVID, and he had to go overseas for this bell jar. It's a bell jar candle. And he sells thousands of them. But he did go. He was honest, and he stopped selling to us because it wasn't 100%. But now he's back at it because our glass industries weren't ready for the demand that was put upon them during the pandemic. So it was a good story in a way that he adjusted, but he did go right back to ours. Not that he switched all over, but he had to find an answer to keep his sales going. So, again, we're talking to all these business guys. You know, in the news, you know, it was a shame. They got all the capital stuff on, and, you know, Afghanistan's not been on for a while. The Ukraine war's not been on. A lot of fake news, but, you know, we talked a lot of these business guys off the buses, you know, how this news controls everything. That's one problem. One old-timer said, hey, I'd get rid of the news and credit cards and you know, not only TV news, credit cards, and see how we do without that. You know, just you know, to try to get by. But we got to find answers. But answers is buying local. It is buying made in America, and it's really supporting these locals now while they need it the most. These mom and pops worried about, Mike.
Oh, very much so, very much so. And you know, Mark, with all that you just said, I feel that the rebate direct to the American people who have been overcharged as a result of all these changes made in the United States because of these prices going up with inflation over the energy. I think it would be nice to give the people $5,000 for a family, $3,000 for an individual, and then let it continue those kinds of rebates. Then the people will say, okay, well, the government is helping me, so we're paying me to have my money stolen by all of these idiotic things that are through this presidential proclamation. By the way, that resolution by Mr. Biden, that is not his real concern. It's done by this energy group that he has with Mr. Curry and all these other people. They just keep eating day and night. We need this, we need that. I said to this very nice congressperson, I said, do you think there was any climate change before there were people on Earth? And he looked at me, he said, well, I don't know. I said, well, sure, if you go into any place and you see the canyons and all, these things all happened, you know, thousands of years ago. There was climate change all the time. But you can't take 99% of our, you know, people and put them in this ugly situation while catering to 1%.
We're worried about making payroll for Monday. Average person's worried about making ends meet at their house. You know, climate change is out there, Mike. It's been happening. Like you said, that's not first on our list if you're surviving in this economy.
Absolutely. And people are telling me, I'm not buying this. I'm not buying that. Some people said to me, you know, I stopped going to the fast food places now. I lost 6 pounds or something. Very interesting. The things that are, it's going to hurt the stores very much. The hoagie shops and the
things, Mike, are rapid inflation, product shortage. You can't get product. You can't have sales if you can't get products. And then the worker cultural change. So you got rapid inflation, product shortage, worker cultural change. And this is all happening fast.
Mark, can you believe that in America we would have a baby formula shortage? Come on, give me a break. This is totally idiotic. At one time, there were 15 companies that made baby formula. It dropped over the last 30 years to 3. Why would they encourage that? I mean, they should have it, you know, in different north, south, east, west. But just putting it on Abbott and some, it doesn't make sense. There's a lack of leadership. And there's another thing which I started on a couple of weeks ago, and that was looking at the Departments of Labor and Industry and also the Department of Commerce. Now, I called myself, I had another one of my associates call the Department of Commerce. The guy was very nice, but nobody can really speak. You know, it's like, I don't know, we would have to receive it in writing and maybe we would respond in writing. Why? I said, come on our radio show. We'd love to have you. No, you know, the United States of Commerce. I did learn one thing in the conversation, which I found very interesting, and I want Larkin to comment on this. I said to him, I'm concerned that so many businesses have moved overseas over the years. People that still have addresses in New York and Connecticut and all these other places. And you know what his response was? But many of those companies are foreign owned now. The office in New York is just an office in New York. With that, I'm going to turn to Larkin. Larkin, do you want $5,000 refund for all the torture you've been going through?
You know what, Michael? I would turn the $5,000 down simply because
you could give it to charity.
Oh, no. The government cannot afford to spend this kind of money.
Right.
We've got to stop this.
That's right.
Insanity.
You know,
listen, if you were lucky enough, and I might add, you are sitting less than 2 miles, you, Michael, right now, are sitting less than 2 miles away from where Biden gave a most telling speech yesterday.
Yesterday. Mm-hmm.
That really kind of explains everything. He spoke to the AFL-CIO, and he blamed everybody, around the world included,
right.
Everybody but his own administration. He explains to me that he's responsible for the healthiest economy in the world. Are you kidding me? But that, of course, is like comparing me at the age of 16 when my father used to put rolls of quarters in my pocket so I wouldn't blow away, you know, to Muhammad Ali. Come on, man. And then he says that he's done more for, you know, that he's lowered the national debt. These boasts are incredible lies. I don't know what else to call them. Exaggerations, lies. It just absolutely, and listen, I'm going to save you all having to sit down and listen to this and get mad again a month from now. But in exactly 1 month, Joe Biden is going to change his story from blaming everybody to blaming the Fed when they raised the rate today.
Yep.
Well, this whole thing is the Fed's fault. They raised the rate come on.
Yeah,
it's
sad. You'll like this. I talked to a few well-known elected Congress people. I said to them, I think it's shameful. It's a disgrace. I use, you know, regular common language. I said, there's no resolution from you people in Washington to end this national self-induced nightmare in the United States of America, which is hurting young people, old people, workers, you know, everybody across the board. There's nobody left unpunished. And now with the raise in the mortgage rates, the interest rates, what's the real purpose of it? And yet they keep saying, they act, Larkin, they act like it's not happening. And you know why they're acting like it's not happening? Because they don't have any idea what the real cost of gas is at the pump. for all of us? They have no idea. Somebody fills their car. Somebody fills, you know, washes the car. They're just there. This has
Mike,
been
you're absolutely right.
This is absolutely like a vacation
clue.
For life. You should
and
see.
Did you know they have no clue what it takes to run a business? And you can add to this. It's just they do not. They're not in our game. The gentleman off the bus actually said, "What if we took away TVs, which is the news, credit cards, and cell phones? How do you think this country would run?" So, Larkin, you can talk about that for a minute.
Yeah. First of all, Mark, you are so spot on about today's economy. You think it's bad now?
Buckle up.
You think it's bad now? Buckle up, because it's going
to
be one of
I
the
hate
worst
to be right.
Christmases. One of the worst Christmases you have ever seen in your life. You have no imports coming in, so there's a supply issue. You have incredible inflation. You have a president that wants to blame everybody in the world but himself. This is the guy who didn't even take time off to take a pee after his speech, inaugural speech. He sat down immediately and shut down the Keystone Pipeline. Within 4 hours of his inauguration, he shut down the pipeline, and he wants to know why we don't have
supplies. So many jobs at that point. So many jobs were connected to that.
Yep.
So I'm going to send this one out special to Mark. I want to send proof that you can't be pro-jobs and be anti-business at the same time. It is virtually impossible. And every one of these politicians, they're not pro-jobs. They're anti-business. And, baby, if you don't pay me some lobbying money, you're going to really see some anti-business. But listen to this one, Mark. You're going to love this. I'm sure you haven't heard this one. This one, I say there's two or three more of these before the city of Philadelphia totally collapses on itself. Their city council is going to pass a law, if they haven't already passed it, that says businesses have to pay their employees who travel from without the city of Philadelphia into the city of Philadelphia a transportation stipend every paycheck.
Oh, you know, Larkin, you're striking a note here. So personal family leave, PFL, I had twin boys. I took a welding test that day. I'm not saying mothers don't deserve some time. But my guys get 3 months off, the guy. And, you know, the wife had the baby. And it's killing me. My engineers I say, could you at least just do maybe one day a week? Now he's doing Wednesday and Friday. I need him. It's the only one I've got. And if you never had a business, you don't know that. If you have 5 people in a business, I'm a little more layered. But your guys are taking off, like you said, this new rule, more expense, more crazy stuff. It's a hard, Larkin. You've ran business. And we go back through the recession of 08, 09, 010. I went from a $12 million sales business to a 5. I laid off 40 people, remember. But we say the difference is you don't have product shortage. You don't have these crazy rules, not only COVID pay, sick days that were mandated, PFL pay. They're coming up with things, and you know not one of them that voted for these items was a business owner. You agree, Larkin?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. But can you imagine if I run a store, if I own a clothing store on the corner of 10th and Market, and I have 2 or 3 guys coming in from Jersey or from North Philadelphia outside the city in the north or west for that matter, and they come into the city, I've got to pay them a transportation stipend.
But there
like
is
fixed,
one
like
out.
A fixed fee, Larkin? Like a
what?
It's going to be a fixed fee, like for
yes, a
board?
Fee. You have to pay whatever it costs. There's only one thing that most people don't realize. This is another form of discrimination. The employers will now say, just like they used to have a rule in Philadelphia, that you can only be a policeman if you lived within the city of Philadelphia. It's going to be the same
right.
thing. If you live within the city of Philadelphia, we'll be able to hire you. But if you live far out, we can't afford to give you the travel fund. So it's I've heard the whole thing, Larkin. I'm saying, why are we wasting all this time? There is not one person who talked about getting the people jobs, but well, talking about giving more something to people on the job.
Guys, I said, could they make it harder? I always joke. And Larkin, you just answered my question. Yes. They could cause us more expenses, more pain in a tough recession, possibly depression coming up. Could they make it tougher? And I guess the answer is yes, of course.
Well, And they will. And they will. Can you? I wish somebody from Citigroup. Now, I can tell you that David O didn't vote for it. So we can all take a huge sigh of relief. But it's insane.
Is it?
Do you not want to promote people to live in your city?
Yeah.
Do you not want to build up the structure of your own city with people who pay, unfortunately, city payroll taxes? And now you're telling them, don't worry, if you want to move out of the city, we'll take care of that because we're going to make the employers pay you a transportation stipend.
Larkin, there's also another negative side of what I heard about it, and that is, if you are a city employee, you're not going to be eligible for the extra money to be coming from the suburbs to work in the city. And they allowed police to move out, so they're not going to be eligible for this. So this is another form of prejudice, discrimination, idioticness, total idioticness.
Where did you find this guy that's the mayor of the city? Where did he come from?
I don't know. He's normally from Second Street in Philadelphia, but I don't know. I don't know. They have goofball ideas. See, this is what happens when somebody is pampered. They're not used to doing something for themselves. They're always looking for somebody to, you know, give them this, give them that, open the door, fill the car, drive them around, run in for the lunch. They become unaware of actually what it is to live a common person's life.
You're right, Mike. I mean, that's
common person's life.
You can't be pro-employer, pro-citizen, and be anti-business.
Absolutely.
You can't.
Absolutely.
It's virtually impossible. So they'll do a fine job of driving another group of businesses out of the city. It's like me talking to that guy Squilla, who, oh my God, when the company that manufactured infant clothing moved out and went to New Jersey,
yeah,
it took 600 jobs.
Yeah,
moved to New Jersey because they said we can't do this taxing anymore.
Right.
We just can't do it. They don't want us here.
And Larkin,
they're
that's what's happening in New York. They keep driving the business out. You do the census. You know there's not the people here there was. Same as California. I get the ladies on it. You know, have the fancy pants you made and whatnot. This Jane Collins. They're driving people out, but they're making it extremely difficult to make a dollar in a business.
You know, Larkin, I'm going to ask you if you could do this maybe this week. Can you look through the national committees that we have in Washington to see if there is a U.S. congressional committee on helping keep jobs and also to keep businesses in the United States of America? When I told you I spoke to someone in the U.S. Commerce Department, he was like stymied with the questions. These are basic questions. Is there a particular mission statement that they have to help businesses remain in America? Do they have conferences to show the benefits of? No. Everything is no. But we are now part of a global economy. So our thing is to keep everything moving in a global network. It's just like I had a constituent get assistance from me the other day. They were going something with their insurance plan. So it was from John Hancock. I can say that because this is a fact. John Hancock Insurance, located in Boston. I call up the first time. I call the person and you know, this person has an accent, the other person has an accent. This is where the problem came in. So I became like the referee. Guess what? Billing and all this is now offshored. Because I asked everybody, where you're located? May I ask where you're located? I thought maybe in Boston. He said, oh, no, we are now offshored. Billing and questions and all. What the hell's going on in Boston?
And guys, you know, America's in trouble. You know, I mean, I'm positive every day. I put 15 hours in yesterday. We're working hard. That's what we do. But it's just they keep – there's no common sense left. And I want to give a hats off to the SBA, Larkin. Again, you're tied with them. Again, without PPP, number one. Number two, the EIDL, though, we would be done already. But, you know, we're still trying. But there's no light at the end of the tunnel, and people got to grab this. There's no, hey, it's going to be better in December. It's going to be better in January. That's not happening, and we're spiraling down. So, you know, what's the answer? They've got to act quick on this one. But if they don't recognize it, Mike, if they don't know the disconnect because they're living in their own little world, that's, I don't know how you fix that.
No, no. In fact, as I mentioned a couple weeks ago, I think this midterm election, the people better start inviting. This is the thing that's important. The people better start inviting the politicians, especially Congress people, asking for them to vote for them to their community. Organize a community event. Bring these people in. You know, they're saying, oh, well, people aren't, you know, asking, so we don't go. I'll ask you. I'm asking all of them to come and be with us on the radio. They got 1,000 things going on. I can't come because I may be called for a vote at that moment. They're not even in session that day.
But Mike, I interviewed, you know, I like this Chris Jacobs up here, and I did a 2.5-hour, you know, commercial shoot with him and whatnot. He's a great guy, not a good guy. And the problem is he just bailed because he got some pressure. And, you know, we want to elect non-selfish, good, you know, business-like leaders. But I just had a great one. We were kind of backing, and he just he doesn't want to deal with the media. So it's a shame. So that's a little scary, too.
Right. The gas prices and all the energy costs and everything else, these people don't want to address it. And I don't understand why. When somebody comes to me through our agency and they want some assistance, I try to look at the whole picture. You have to look at the whole picture. These people don't look at the whole picture to say, wait a minute, people are going to work. They're earning so much money. People are on Social Security. They're earning so much money. No, they don't. They have no idea because they are given a salary. All their expenses are paid. They arrive for lunches, wave, and all this kind of crap. And they do nothing to really understand what the regular American person is going through just to maintain their existence.
Well, remember, Larkin, your list you'd give us at the end of every year. This is your dream Christmas list or New Year's list. And it was point on. Now you got to eat an elephant one bite at a time. But we've got so many issues that we don't fix anything. We don't attack a challenge head on. We've got to break this down. But for the people listening, what do you do? Hey, go out, buy Made in America, buy local. It's a small change, but you're voting with your dollar. You're making change. You're changing demand. And hopefully that can help. But we've got so many challenges that they're not facing. They're just avoiding.
You know, Mark, you're right.
And you know, Mark, the other thing, you know, in a country where an 18-year-old can borrow $10,000 to go to college, but can't borrow $10,000 to start a business.
Yeah, you're absolutely right.
Can pick up an assault rifle and go fight for the country. But when he gets back here, they say, well, give us the assault rifle back. Now, you can't have one till you're 21.
Yeah.
Are you nuts? And you know
like you said, to get a dollar in business, Larkin, I'd still be 36 years in business. Still, they treat me like I'm a criminal. To try to borrow for a retail store, to try to borrow... Oh, my God. You know, you'd have to give up your kids. You know, it's just almost impossible. And you hate to say that, but it is for a young guy, with no history.
Let me explain to you what our president is doing today. And I follow him just because when I'm in a good mood and I'm not angry enough, I just follow the president, and that sends me right over the edge. He's calling American oil companies today, this morning probably on the phone right now. And he's asking them to make less money and produce more gas.
Can I make an article yet?
OE, who has not approved or allowed a refinery to be built in this country since 1972. Oh, ye.
Yeah, it's sad.
Who has not produced one policy that I can look at and say, you know, Joe, that's a good one. I'm behind that one. Let's go get it done. Nothing. He gives me no answers. Nothing except excuses and blaming it on other people.
Well, you know yourself, Larkin, right here in Pennsylvania, we lost a few refineries. How do you replace them? They're saying, well, we're going to get more from overseas. Why? When we have drilling opportunities right here in this country, coming from another state, Alaska, from our partner, Canada. It doesn't make sense. If you want to save fuel and help the climate, less ships coming with all the oil from foreign countries would be a lot better.
Mike, all Biden had to do is sit back with Trump's economy and take the credit for it.
He would be a hero. He would be
he
a
really
hero.
Would be. We talk about it all the time. Well, he's good people. It's just a fact. There was money. There was business being done. There was transaction. People had extra money. Businesses were growing. I would have been out of debt 4 or 5 years. Things were rock and rolling.
Now, Larkin, I want to tell you this. This is very, very interesting, and I learned more of this every day. I say, well, we want to get more clothing manufacturing in the country. We want to do some of our sneakers and everything else. Well, it's not going to be easy because those companies that were, you know, located in America sold out 18 years ago. The guy said, don't you realize that that's been sold for years?
Yeah, but
we don't own that anymore. That's a nice name. It just doesn't belong to an American.
Yeah,
so we have
Mike,
to come with a new name. Larkin Conley sneakers or Mark Andel sneakers.
Demand. Yeah. I mean, my vendors got all the demand they ever wanted, and it's working. I mean, it's a model that would work, but they're making it harder at the same time for these businesses to produce by all these new regulations and these new programs and, you know, the sick days, the PFLs, this new what you're talking in Philadelphia with the worker pay for mileage. And they're making it harder, as it would be a great time to help these businesses grow in the United States. They're making it harder and hurting them. It
now,
just does not make sense.
That what went on, and I did ask one of the council people when I heard this was going to be on the table. They said, Michael, there is so much more money circulating. It's big money circulating in America like never before. I said, of course, the inflation prices are destroying everybody's, you know, well-being. They're using their savings. They're using their living paycheck to paycheck. And you're talking about more money circulating in America. More money circulating means one thing, Larkin. What is it? More taxes.
If it circulates.
Get all the seals ready.
They're printing money if it's circulating.
That's right. It's idiotic. No mentality. As I said, it's that spoon-fed mentality. It's like having a, you know, dog urinate near you and then somebody says, oh, it must be raining out. You know, it doesn't make any sense. There's no reality to what these people are talking about. All that's happened is it's a major benefit to countries who are supplying us instead of us supplying America. Taking stuff from state to state or across, you know, the country would be much, much more desirable and cost-effective at this point. It's getting the permits to open the business, getting the loans to maybe build a wing on or something like that. The government, you know, wants to give you a little help. But to get that little bit of help, you have to almost put your whole life on the chopping block. And that's not good.
Mark, I had this really funky dream probably 2 weeks ago. I haven't repeated it because I thought most people would have me committed if I ever told it. But it got so tough on the open seas with the shipping and the containers, and the supply chain was so negatively affected that it pushed this country into having what is called that American reaction. And all of a sudden, the government was bogged down with people going for licenses to open new businesses to fill the void that was being left by Japan.
That's the dream.
That's the dream. And yeah. I had it, and I thought, wow. I was trying to remember whether I was drinking beer or vodka that night. what would bring that
on? Larkin, where was the respect lost for businesses where we became bad people? We create livelihoods. I just don't get it.
There is a massive reaction, cultural change in this country against Elon Musk, who has done more.
Who's doing great things.
Well, my God, he's done more for the electric car than any five corporations and people put together.
Space program.
And now all of a sudden, he's the bad guy, because guess what? He's taking all these risks, and he's making a little money. He's making a lot of money. And how's the government respond? Well, we're going to build 50,000 independent, freestanding power stations for electric cars. There's a Tesla charging station in the outlet mall that I was in yesterday. Six positions. There's not one car in there. Of course there's not a car in there. How many Teslas do you think are running around in the state of Florida now? Not many.
100%, right?
And I just want to ask the president, Mr. President, did you give any thought to the hundreds of thousands of gas stations that are out there trying to make ends meet? These are small businessmen and small business women who are trying to make a living in this field. And if gas is going to go away, why don't you make an offer to them that you'll build a power station in their facility?
Right. That's right.
And keep their businesses going. But no, we're going to build them independent on lots and motels. This guy is frightening.
But, Larkin, that's correct. And, you know, if we were 50% of the cars already able to take in electric, that's fine. But we're 1%. You don't knock off your head to spite the rest of your body. It doesn't make any kind of sense to me. And yet when you speak to the national elected officials, I mentioned this before, they're afraid to introduce any type of act that would slow down or end this idiotic Biden order. But really, I don't understand it. And I don't like it. And I say different things. I said, this is what Hitler would do. This is what Putin is doing. It's being done here on 330 million people in the United States of America. You're taking the livelihoods of people. You're making them earn $100 and spend $100 with no possibility of savings. Or you have to go to your savings account, take some additional money out of your savings just to live. That's why I say, maybe if somebody proposed a $5,000 per family or $3,000 per individual, if you're living alone or something, but the families, give some money back to the people during this time. Let's see if that would change the tune. Because they don't understand what's going on. They say, well, this is temporary. What does temporary mean? Once that cost goes up, it's going to be up there forever.
Remember March 13, 2020, I thought the COVID pandemic was going to last 2 weeks. Oh, we can get through that. 3 weeks, 4 weeks, 5 weeks, you know, 2 years. I had a meeting every month. I'm like, this is what we're going to do. And I'm like, holy cow, we didn't think it would last this long. But now it continues to hurt the country, the economy-wise. And it's just talking to homeowners or residential people, you can see it starting to tighten up. It started about 3-4 weeks ago. And, you know, even houses, Larkin, in Florida, because it's becoming a seller's market more than a buyer's market. And it's happening as we speak. But if we can see all this, what's going on? I mean, who's doing anything about it?
Well, you know, that's a good point, because I keep promoting local communities to go after special Congress people, and I get around, and I'll tell you, I don't see these people much. They're like some, you know, it's a name, but you never get to see the body that fits the name. It's, you know, this kind of rigmarole. I said, invite them to your community meeting and let them explain to you people directly the benefit of all this inflation and the way the gas situation is now.
Benefit. Yeah.
Let them see. Bring it. Tell the people right there what is the real benefit of the presidential's executive order by Joe Biden, and let the people hear for themselves. Maybe there is a golden cow walking down the street and I can't see it. I mean,
you gotta buy different glasses, huh?
I didn't mean to take us away from it, Mark, but you make a great point. I mean, a cultural change. How did we find ourselves in a cultural change that finds if you're successful, if you're a businessman, if you took the risk, when it's time to collect the reward, people don't like you?
Right.
Right, right.
Where we are.
How'd that happen? And you're 100% right. Well, what is wrong? But that's what America's built on. You want to go out there and take the risk? You want to put your house
right
and your savings on the line to open something up, and you want to work 124 hours to make that business successful? As
the foreign person that came in became a dishwasher, then became a billionaire. That's okay. He worked his ass off.
Yeah, that's right.
That's exactly right. That's what you're looking for. That's what made this country great.
Oh, here's something else, Larkin. You're going to love this. I'm one of the politicians today. First of all, I think that a lot of these people who have been in these appropriations committee and leaderships and all for 30, 37 years, they should all be out. 4 years in leadership and get off and go and look and let somebody else be the leader of the committee or the party or whatever. Somebody being there, they have no reality of what is going on. Plus, those people in appropriations, in leadership, have the ability to discriminate against groups, organizations, communities. Just take a look at some of our communities across the United States. There are people who are mainly operating on their own, going to work, raising their children, keeping their houses up. And then you have people in poverty living in the urban areas. Do the politicians care about the people living on their own and doing well? No, they never hear from them. Everything is focused upon the urban areas that are doing poorly. My question has been for the last 20 years, why aren't we helping those urban areas to grow so that they can have jobs, look at clean communities? Guy said to me, what do you think the problem is? I said, well, let me be very honest about it. If you live in an area where the roads are dirty, you know, the potholes are enormous, everything is boarded up or whatever, you think you're on last chance, that this is the end of my go. Do you agree with that, Larkin? And they said, well, why aren't these people addressing it? Why aren't they saying, we're going to take these two blocks, we're going to do it, I want all the people to come out, help us to beautify your neighborhood and go to the next two blocks? Everything is like, oh, Uncle Sam did it, you know, blah, 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 blah.
All we can count on is potholes, weeds, and taxes.
Oh, yeah, and roadside, filth on the roadside. Why is that like that? They said there's so many people that are out of jobs temporarily. In Europe, if you're out of a job, you're automatically put on some kind of a community project. In America, you just sit home, watch TV, watch whatever is on TV, and you just wait for the next opportunity, or just wait as long as you can wait it out to stay on some kind of a benefit. This
give
is
me my
not
plastics drawback and clean up the neighborhood.
So in Florida, and I have to brag on my state a little bit, it is extraordinary how clean and pristine our highways are. It's extraordinary. But guess what? There's somebody out there every week from the prisons. They open the gates, put
them
on the trucks, put them in
Tampa,
on.
Yep.
orange vests on, and they go out and they pick up the trash. And, of course, we depend on tourism. So you got to put your best foot
forward. Larkin, that's
really important to us.
In different countries, they give you 6 bags, and you are expected to fill those bags, whether it's with grass clippings, you know, some bushes that you, or trash from the street, because they do not tolerate this type of environment for their visitors or their taxpayers. And if you happen to be, you know, going for some kind of community service or rehabilitation or whatever, that's part of what you do. But in America, some years ago, we got to the point that that's degrading a person. I don't think so. I think it's good for the person to go out and see the reality of the environment of our city and the area where they live. We just, too much catering has led to where we are today.
I've got to bring one thing up, and it's kind of switching gears, but it's a cultural change to me. That elementary shooting in San Antonio, Texas bothers me every day, 10-year-olds. 17, 18 police officers stayed outside for 77 minutes. What?
That's right. It's insane.
I have to throw it out there. What? Not my friends I hang around with.
No, it doesn't make sense. You know,
any officer I know.
Well, that's right.
You agree? I got to throw it out there because it bothers me every day.
No.
There's no question. There's no question.
And, you know, they're trying to dance around the whole deal. No, there has to be a national policy of what happens in this kind of a situation. Life is very precious. People are precious to be loved, to be cherished.
And when they don't follow through with all the FBI, all the leads and all these shooters, they don't follow through, they don't close the deal, they don't react, they don't take care of the problem again.
And there's no mandate. There's no mandate for anybody to know, if I do something wrong, this is what's going to happen to me. Every jurisdiction in the country has their own, you'll do this, you'll do that. Should be a national mandate where you will have to do this in order to get yourself into some kind of a better situation with your criminal record or whatever. Most people want to be good. Some people are in unfortunate situations where they do bad because they have nothing good around them. Well, ladies and gentlemen, as you can hear by the music with our engineer, Henry Chaplinsky, it's time for us to sign off for today. I want to wish all of you that are tuned in, that are dads and granddads, a happy Father's Day. We'll be back here again next Wednesday. Please do spread the word. And you can also go to the internet and log on to AmericanWorkersRadio.com and click on our broadcast and spread the word to family and friends. God love you. Fly your flags. And if you need some flags, AmericanMadeStore.com. Until we hear from each other, may God bless you and may God bless America.
All right. Great show. Have a great week, guys.
Have a great week. Thank you, Mark.